The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. Wanted to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Well, our hearts are broken today after we have heard about the tragedy that has befallen Central Texas, and especially the floods that hit Camp Mystic there right on the Guadalupe River. Just horrible, and the amount of lives that were lost, 80 plus, they're still looking for people. That flood came in the early morning hours of July 4th, and I asked Grok, how did the Guadalupe River in Central Texas rise so rapidly? Said it, the river in Central Texas rose 26 feet in approximately 45 minutes due to a combination of extreme meteorological and geographical factors during the catastrophic flash flood on July 4th. So it's extreme rainfall. The fact that the Texas Hill Country doesn't have a lot of soil, it's rocky, and so nothing holds, and it just keeps going down to the lowest point and hits the river, and the water surged like crazy. And so it said a river gauge at one particular location showed the river rising about 1 foot every 5 minutes, starting around 3 a.m., reaching to over 20 feet by 4:30 a.m. And so it's just devastating, and the amount of lives lost, especially at that camp, that camp for girls. And so a number of girls were lost. The man that ran the camp was killed in the flood trying to save those girls. He was 70 years old. What a way to die, doing something that's so heroic and giving your life to protect those campers. That camp is huge. I did a little research on the camp. Camp Mystic is a nearly century-old Christian summer camp for girls located on the Guadalupe River in Hunt, Texas. The camp hosted around 750 girls aged 7 to 17 during the summer. And the camp has been devastated, loss of life, loss of, property. You wonder, it's 100, almost 100 years old, but you wonder, how does it come back from something like this? Just horrific. So Camp Mystic reported mourning the loss of 27 campers and counselors, including the camp's owner and director, Dick Eastland, who died while attempting to rescue campers. And, you know, when I heard those stories, I have three girls. I have two granddaughters and three little grandsons, and it just broke my heart. I just couldn't imagine the pain of losing a child like that. And so I immediately thought of that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God is the God of all comfort. And so We can trust Him. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Psalm 34:18 is a scripture verse I use often at funerals, where it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." It just puts such a hurt in your heart. And we've been praying for them, and many people have been rolling up their sleeves and doing what they can to help. Sadly and sickeningly, we have people that have made public statements. This one pediatrician in Houston, I saw Todd Starnes posted this, said, well, those were MAGA people, and it was some derogatory statement, like they get what they deserve, something along those lines. I'm not going to read it, but it's just awful. And the company that doctor worked for has said, we're putting that person on administrative leave, because now's not the time to make a political statement. Another person said, well, they were, you know, they're getting what they deserve. It's all white people. And just, you meant political, use this for a political statement. You use this for a racial statement. I don't care what color the kids were. And the people were that died. I don't care who they voted for. Our hearts break for this. Now, in Scripture, Luke chapter 13, Jesus was asked about this. He was asked about tragedy. And it's interesting, his response. And so now we know that he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. The Lord cares for us. He hurts when we hurt. And when our lives are filled with difficulty and hardship, He's not immune to us. He's the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Somebody has said, what is the definition of compassion? It means to suffer with. God is saying, I feel your hurt in my heart. I love that definition of compassion. I feel your hurt in my heart. But it says in Luke 13, now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? You know, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So there was obviously some people that died in a tragic, horrific accident where a tower fell up on them. Maybe there was a big storm, a windstorm or something like that. But 18 were killed when a tower fell on them. And Jesus is saying, hey, those things happen. Tragedy does strike. And what we need to do is prepare for that. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Hey, everybody under the sound of my voice today, me included, 100 years from now, we're all going to be dead. Now, we die different ways, but the fact of the matter, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so the Lord is saying, listen, you need to prepare for death. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And perish, Palame, that means to perish completely, to perish utterly, to perish in a terrible, horrible place called hell. John 3:16, sometimes we miss the import of that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. The Lord doesn't want us to perish, but the truth of the matter is, everyone who comes into this world on the broad road that leads to destruction. We're on the road. We call it the broad road. We could also call it the perishing road. because we all of us need to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, very straightforwardly. Teacher, we know that you are a rabbi. We know that you're a teacher sent from God, he says to him, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. I mean, it's obvious that God was with the Lord. He was doing all these signs, healing the sick and casting out demons and you know, healing withered hands and giving sight to the blind and raising the dead. He was doing all these things. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, the truly, truly statements of the Gospel of John, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus didn't understand. Born again, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? A man can't do that, can he? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, and that could be the water of birth. You know, we know that when a woman's water breaks, that means birth is coming. It could be physical birth that he's talking about. It could mean baptism, as everybody was familiar with the baptism of John. And John baptized for the baptism of repentance. So he could be talking about repentance there. He's not talking about Christian water baptism, because that wouldn't make any sense at all to Nicodemus. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross proved that. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his family received the Holy Spirit without being baptized. They were baptized later, but you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But Jesus said to him, lest one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you can't see it, you can't enter it unless you're born again. And so do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Listen, tragedy is a terrible thing. We don't like it, but it's part of life. And our hearts break, and our hearts go out to the families that have lost loved ones. That one family that lost both their precious little daughters. I would read those stories and look at those news reels, and just my heart would just break, and the tears would just well up in my eyes, because I think of my girls, I think of my grandkids, and Lord, you would just want this to be a bad dream. Lord, let me wake up from this. But the reality is, those things do happen. And if you live long enough, tragedy is going to befall you. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble, the scripture says. So, how do we prepare for it? What do we do? Well, we know down in our heart. I talk about this in my book, The Devil's Newsroom. The devil likes to take tragedy and difficulties and problems that come into your life and my life and spin them in such a way to tell us God is not good. You see, this proves, this circumstance, this negative situation proves God is not good, proves that God doesn't answer prayer, it proves that God doesn't love you, and nothing could be further from the truth. And so every person, you want to prepare for tragedy? Well, chisel in your heart, 2 Chronicles 7:3, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. That's what the priests said when they were dedicating the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord so in such a great way. His power, his glory, his splendor was upon the house in such a powerful way that they couldn't minister, and they just fell on their faces and they proclaimed, truly he is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Those two things need to be chiseled in your heart. And add a third, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I believe if you have those three things in your heart, God is good, God loves me, and God has promised that he will work all things together for good for me, because I love him, and for all who love him. When we have that down, when tragedy strikes, doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, doesn't mean it doesn't devastate us. but it keeps us from getting bitter at God. As Job didn't get bitter at God, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the subject, when tragedy strikes, the terrible floods, flash floods in Texas. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about when tragedy comes. We're talking about the terrible flash floods that have hit Central Texas and the rapidly rising water in the Guadalupe River that came in the early morning hours of July 4th. Killed at least 82 people, including 28 children. And I had mentioned in the first segment about the pediatrician in Houston, a Texas pediatrician, Dr. Christina B. Propst, P-R-O-P-S-T. She was placed on leave by her employer and then later fired from Bluefish Pediatrics in Houston following her now-deleted social media post. In her post, she said that these people were Trump supporters and they got what they voted for. And so she used it to make this political statement. Just sickening. You know, listen, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And I don't care who you voted for. I care about you as a person. And so I don't want to see something terrible happen to you. Now, we watch people make decisions about life. We see people on social media with, they have disfigured themselves. They've bought into the lie of the transgender insanity or some of these Hollywood people that have, injected all this chemical into their face, Botox, and they look like something from a sci-fi movie and just destroyed themselves, and your heart hurts for them. You don't wish them ill. As Paul said to the Jews who were so vicious toward him, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer for them is for their salvation." And so we want to see a Christian, a true Christian who's walking with the Lord. They want to see these people come to Christ. Even this woman who did this, posted this terrible thing and thankfully was hit with repercussions, immediate repercussions by her employer, Bluefish Pediatrics. How can you employ somebody like that? You're a pediatrician and you're glad that these people have died. They got what they deserved. Good grief. But I don't wish her ill. I don't, this attitude burn in hell or something like that, as people have that kind of visceral attitude. No, I wish she would come to faith in Christ. I love what Adrian Rogers said concerning Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting the church and ravaging the church, who was breathing out threats and violence against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, no doubt there were some people praying. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but you just know human nature, the people praying, "Lord, that guy, he is such a threat to the church. Just take him. Just, Lord, give him a heart attack or something. Take him out of this position where he is doing such harm to the church and such harm to the saints and persecuting the church." And perhaps they were even praying, "Lord, kill him and slay him." But the Lord said, "No, I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to slay him. I'm going to save him. And he's going to be one of the greatest witnesses for the resurrection, the man who is breathing out threats and murders against the saints of God. He is going to become a saint of God. He's going to be a trophy of my grace. And he, the chief of sinners, as Paul called himself, became the chief of saints as he surrendered his life to Christ and became what I believe the greatest Christian who ever lived, humanly speaking. And the Lord said, hey, I'm going to take this that the devil meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it for good. And so I pray for this pediatrician, Christina Props, that she would come to know Jesus Christ. And the Christian community doesn't need to vilify her, but we do need to point out the fact that what you said was evil and horrible, and you're getting what you deserve in terms of losing your job, because who in the world could go to that person after they did that? Well, how do we handle tragedy? What do we do with it? I have friends who have lost children. My friend Sean Breedlove, I was thinking of him yesterday, Sean and Deanna Breedlove, and I've had him on the program. They lost their son, Ben, on Christmas Day. Ben, I believe he was 18 years old and had a history of heart issues. And, you know, what I asked Sean, I said, how do you handle Christmas? Did that ruin Christmas for you going forward? It's been 11 or 12 years, maybe a little longer, since Ben went home to be with the Lord. He said, no, it didn't. It hasn't ruined Christmas. He said, I think of Christmas Day as the day that my son went to heaven. And so I don't look at it negatively. I look at it positively. And so when tragedy comes, here's the thing, because tragedy is going to come to all of us. You have to hold all things loosely. Everyone in your life, all your loved ones, hold them loosely. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. All souls, Ezekiel 18, all souls are mine, the Lord says. And so they don't belong to us. They're just on loan. God has given our children to us on loan. He's given our loved ones to us on loan. They belong to God. And so we hold all things loosely, all the wealth that the Lord has entrusted to us, possessions and things, we hold it loosely. Because as Job said, the Lord gave. And we love that when the Lord gives. Who doesn't love that? The Lord gave. Hey, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Everything you have is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning, as James says. So the Lord gave, and we praise him for that. And the Lord has taken away. It's his prerogative to do that. He knows what he's doing. You and I don't know what he's doing. We don't understand. Job didn't understand when the bottom dropped out of his life. He didn't understand when all 10 of his children died in one fell swoop. But the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we can still praise him and we can still bless his name because we've chiseled into our hearts those three things. Truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting, and truly, I added this one, truly, Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It hurts deeply, deeply, deeply. I had Tim Lee on the program a few years ago. I remember when his granddaughter had died in an accident. And he loved his granddaughter as grandfathers love their grandkids, but he had a special bond with his granddaughter, and man, his heart was broken and shattered in a million pieces. Now, Tim is a godly man. He's an evangelist, and he has preached the gospel all over the place and led countless thousands to faith in Jesus Christ, and he's a strong believer. But that doesn't mean you're immune from hurting. I think about the old song that really dates me, but I remember as a kid this song coming on the radio, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. You know, we kind of come into the Christian life thinking, well, that's going to be the end of my problems. Well, Yeah, it's going to be the front end, because in the world you have tribulation, and many people suffer more problems because they put their faith and trust in Christ. They would be out of the crosshairs of the devil's attacks had they not trusted Jesus. Now, ultimately, eternally, you don't trust Christ, you're going to have a tremendous problem that lasts forever and ever, separated from God, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But those in this life, in the world, you have tribulation, as Jesus told the disciples, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. And so those who were burned at the stake for their faith in Christ, those who were beheaded for their faith in Christ, those who have seen their families murdered for their faith in Christ. What happened on October 7th in Israel, where whole families were killed, and the horrific things that Hamas did to young babies and little kids, it's just horrible. So we live in a very sick and twisted and fallen world, and so we have to give ourselves to the Lord. We have to give all that He has entrusted to us. We give that to the Lord. Every day you give that over to Him, and it makes you grateful and thankful for another day that the Lord has allowed you to enjoy your family, your loved ones. But when that day comes, as I still remember Charles Swindoll saying when he talked to Corrie ten Boom, she had told him, she said, Pastor Charles, make sure you hold all things loosely, because if you grip them with a strong grip, the master is going to have to hurt you as he opens your hand. Those things belong to God. I think about my friend Charles Lowry, who lost his grandson in a terrible, horrible accident right before his mom's eyes. It's just horrible. And the pain and the devastation and the trauma that people go through in seeing something like that. Harold O'Chester, my pastor in college, was driving in a car with his pregnant wife and his two kids, a son and a daughter, in the back seat of the car. And he had a malfunction in his steering column, and I think, if I remember correctly, it locked up, and he hit an 18-wheeler head-on. And the next thing he knows, he wakes up, and he's in the hospital with lots of broken bones and complications and things. And he's told by his pastor, Harold, I need to tell you something. Your wife and your children, they're all gone. They're all with Jesus. And Harold said to him, well, then I want to be with Jesus too. He didn't want to live. Can you imagine? Your family's gone. I would want to be gone too. But the Lord had a different plan for Harold, and he remarried and had a great marriage with Barbara and had three daughters, and God wasn't done with him. And so God is not done with you. He's not done with me. We don't know how much time we have left. So what do? We make sure that we give our every day to the Lord. I urge you, therefore, brethren, Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And listen, for those parents out there that have lost loved ones, my heart goes out to you. I can't imagine the pain that you have felt, that you are feeling. But know this, that God is good, and you can trust Him, and you can press into Him. You know, I think it was Charles Lowry that told me, you know, Jeff, you never get over it, but you do get through it. And that's Psalm 23, verse 1. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And listen, the Lord knows. He has everything mapped out. He knows the end from the beginning. He has all your days planned out. He knows what's going to happen. That doesn't mean that God is making you and me a robot. He just has seen the movie. He knows what happens in your life and my life. He knows what tragedies come in. He knows what decisions we make that trigger this and that and the other. And so we just trust him. We just say, okay, Lord, and I want to rejoice in you. And the Bible says in Psalm 50, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors him. And to him who orders his way aright, he will show the salvation of God. And so sometimes thanksgiving is a sacrifice. It's hard to thank the Lord, and you're thanking the Lord through tears, and you don't understand, and it's okay. We don't have to understand. He understands. And so we trust him, even in those hard times. It's amazing what Job said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. That's how we come into this world with nothing. That's what we leave. As Adrian Rogers once said, you know, when you leave this earth, you leave behind all that you have, and you take with you all that you are. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, praise the Lord, and the Lord has taken away. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise him in the sunshine. I'm going to praise him in the rain. I'm going to trust him even though life is so very hard right now. Psalm 74, verse, let's see. But as for me, I will praise him yet more and more. I can't find it right at the moment. But it's a great verse that it just says, hey, no matter what's going on, I'm going to praise God because he is in charge, he is in control, and he is going to work it together for good. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. We're talking about when tragedy comes. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. So please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about when tragedy comes. How do we handle that? What are we to make of that? How do we not get bitter at God when our heart is shattered? We're thinking about the floods in Texas that have killed so many and devastated that Camp Mystic that has been around for almost 100 years, and the camp owner, Dick Eastland, died trying to protect those girls, and what a heroic way. We praise the Lord for him trying to do what he could do. You know, this thing came up. It's very hard to plan for this. The water rose so quickly. What did it say? 26 feet inside of an hour. And so it's just, boom, it was just there. And so you do all you can. Praise the Lord. There were 750 girls there at the camp, and many of them were saved. And so we are thankful for that. One of the verses I was thinking about, Psalm 71, the psalmist says this, O God, do not be far from me. O God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, Psalm 71, verse 14, but as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, hey, if you've gone through loss, and you would like to share a brief testimony how the Lord was near to you in that time, we would love to hear it. Your testimony could really help somebody else. My wife, Debbie, texted me, and she said this, I think in this tragedy, one main thing that believers can do is really pray. Pray for those parents and for the people that have lost so much. And when they get to the place where they simply can't pray, they're just so devastated. You and I can pray. We can be like Aaron and her, and we can lift up their arms, and we can pray for them, and we can be there for them. The ministry of presence. And so, if you know somebody that has suffered and a terrible loss during this storm, especially or during whatever time, we had a boy in Texarkana that was killed in an automobile accident, and well known, and it's just so horrific. I think about a couple in our church who lost both their kids in an automobile accident. They were, I think they were either late teens, early 20s, but they were driving together and they were killed. And I mean, what do you do with that? You get that news and that story. This is what happened. And you just wish it weren't so. And you just cry out to God. And so we come alongside those people and we love on them and we pray for them and we're there for them. And we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And the people of God come together. We call upon the Lord, the God of mercy, the Father of comfort. And we ask him to pour out his mercy, his grace, and his comfort. Well, we have Jim on the line from Arkansas. Jim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. I gave my life to Jesus Christ over 30 years ago, and the reason I gave it, I was at a ball game, and my 15-year-old baby playing baseball just died on the field. I asked why. Why me, Lord? But I wasn't a Christian. He had given his life to Christ 2 weeks before he passed away. I knew he was going to heaven. I knew I wasn't. God got us both that day because I gave my life to Jesus Christ because of the tragedy I had. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for me. Amen, amen.
That is so good, Jim. Well, how long ago was that?
That was 1995.
So with your son...
I'm an old man.
With your son, would he just have a massive heart attack, or what happened?
They don't know if he had a heart attack or aneurysm, but he just scored. He rocked across the line. I looked at him, and I said, way to go, Jeffrey. He looked at me with that big smile, and he took two more steps, and he went down and never got up.
Wow.
Heartbreaking. But, you know, I've got a God, and he loves me. And he loved Jeffrey. And he's going to take care of us the rest of our lives or until we get to eternity.
Amen. Amen. And Jeffrey's there with him. I love what my friend Charles Lowry said about Job. He said, you know, it's interesting in the book of Job that Job lost, you know, he lost everything, and then the Lord repays him and he doubles everything that he had. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. So he was a very wealthy man, and the Lord doubled it all. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and in all the land no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And Charles said this, you know, he doubled everything except his kids because, and this is so cool, he hadn't really lost his kids. He said he gave him 10 more kids because the 10 he had were in heaven. They weren't lost. They weren't gone. They had just moved on to heaven, and so he got 10 more. He did have double the amount of children that he had after that. And I thought, what a great way to look at loss. And so, Jim, thank you for calling in with that. And that's the way to take tragedy. You take that to the Lord, and you cast your burden on Him, knowing that He will sustain you. And God knows what He is doing. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground except by my Father, Jesus said, which means that God is in control of all things. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And as my friend Mark Shook said, that doesn't mean that God knows the numbers of hairs on your head. It means that He numbers every hair on your head. So you scratch your head vigorously and you see 3 or 4 hairs fall out. Well, God knows the numbers of those. Well, that's number 620 of hairs on your head that fell out. That's number 13. He knows that. God is intimately acquainted with all our ways. And God is so much greater than our minds can comprehend. You know, I really believe this. I think even in heaven, that there are things that we will learn about God. We're not going to know everything about God, even in heaven, because God is the infinite God. So I think for all eternity, we'll be learning new things about the character and nature of our God, because He is so much more vast than our minds can comprehend. Than our minds can ever comprehend. You know, the Bible says about God, He measures the universe by the span. The span is the distance from your pinky to your thumb. And God is so great and so huge that how does He measure the known universe that we measure in light years? He measures it just by the span of His pinky to His thumb. Now, that's obviously anthropomorphic language. It's, you know, ascribing to God a hand like that. But it just shows us that God is so much greater than we could ever comprehend. And so it's good to let your mind loose and let your mind out and just say, you know, is there anything that God can't do? The answer, no, He can't violate His nature. But God is so much greater than what we give Him credit for. And so we want to know Him and know Him better. And, you know, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and this really goes along with what we're talking about today, he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We like to know Him and the power of His resurrection, but we don't like the fellowship of His sufferings. But there's something about suffering that draws us near to the Lord. I'm thinking about a missionary, Darlene Dibler Rose. I can't wait to meet her in heaven. I loved her testimony. Her testimony was called, "I Will Never Leave You." And Darlene talked about being in a concentration camp, a Japanese concentration camp. She was a missionary in Indonesia when World War II broke out, and the Japanese came in and took her camp and made it into a concentration camp. And then they accused her of being a spy, which was not true. And they took her from the concentration camp, a terrible place. There's no day at the beach there at the concentration camp. But they took her and put her in death row and put her in a prison camp and put her in death row. And every day they would beat her and interrogate her and then interrogate her and beat her. And she thought for sure she was going to die there. And she said, "I never cried a tear before my captors, but when they would leave and I was alone in my cell, I would die, I would cry buckets of tears and cry out to the Lord." And you know, she said, as she shared her testimony at this church one day, you can look on YouTube, Darlene Dibler Rose, and you can listen to it. It's about an hour and maybe an hour and 10 or 15 minutes, but it's such a powerful testimony. She said, and when I share this with churches and Christian groups, she said, people say, "Oh, Darlene, I wish that hadn't happened to you." She said, "There's something about it." She said, "The Lord was so near to me in that suffering, in that prison cell." And she said, "Sometimes I miss that. I don't miss the beatings, but I miss the fellowship of his suffering, because the nearness of the Lord was palpable there in her cell." And so, listen, when you're suffering like that, and when the bottom drops out, and when your heart is shattered, what do? You bring that before the Lord. You don't do what Naomi did in Ruth. Naomi, whose name means pleasantness, she lost her husband and her two sons. She said, "Call me Mara." Mara, which means bitterness. "Don't call me pleasantness. Don't call me by my name," which means pleasantness. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." She said, "I went out full when they left Bethlehem to go to the land of Moab. I went out full, and now I've come back empty. And the Almighty has done, the Almighty has afflicted me." So call me Mara. Listen, don't go that route. Don't get bitter at God. Keep trusting him. Press into God. Trust in him. Psalm 62, verse 8, such a great verse. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." God is a safe place. And so you can share your hurts, you can share your frustrations, you can share your questions, you can share everything with him, but always do it in a heart of reverence, in a heart that says, "God, I don't understand, but I know you understand. And God, I'm hurting, and I know you care, because you are the God who is compassionate. You feel my hurt in your heart. You're compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding, overflowing in loving kindness." And so we can come before the Lord. We can get close to a God like that. So I just want us to pray. As Debbie had texted me, we can pray for those people that have experienced this tremendous tragedy. It's so widespread there in Central Texas. So let's do that just now. Father in heaven, we love you. We praise you. We trust you. And we do pray for the families that have lost loved ones and those who are going through such tremendous difficulty right now. And we pray, Lord, that you would send many people to be Jesus with skin on, to minister to them, to love them, to be there with the ministry of presence, to help where they can help, give wisdom to extended family members who can come and just console moms and dads and be there and let them know that they care. And God, you're the God of all comfort. So we pray that you would comfort those who are in affliction. We pray that you'd comfort those who are hurting. And Lord, that you'd just pour out your grace. Thank you that you're the God of all grace. And thank you, Lord, that when the bottom drops out of our lives, that you've told us to just trust you. As Jairus was told, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your little girl is dead." You told him, "Fear not, only believe. You just keep trusting me." And so, Lord, we pray that for those families, that they would put their faith and trust in you. And those that haven't, just like our caller Jim said, that this would be this terrible tragedy would be the trigger to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we pray all this in your matchless name. Amen. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Know that yesterday is gone, tomorrow may not come. All that we have is today. So let's use today for His glory.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.